Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Vochem Daf Samach Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn our attention to the top line of Samach Aleph Omid Aleph, we notice a diamond. This diamond is a continuation of a series of resolutions to two Tanaic sources that we saw at the bottom of Samach Omid Beis. In one source, it was indicated that Kachim could not be eaten, sacrifices could not be eaten upon the uprooting of the camp of the Mishkan in the travels in the desert upon leaving Mitzrayim. Once there was Siluk Masos, the source number one that we saw over there said, Kachim Nifsalim. We saw a second source that indicated, B'shnei Mekoimus Kachim Nechalim, and in our understanding of the expression B'shnei Mekomos, we understood it to mean that even when they were in a state of travel, Kachim could be consumed. So we saw a couple of resolutions to that issue. We continue at the top of Samach Aleph Amun Aleph, V'i Boyes Ema. Another approach, if you prefer, you can say, Ha V'ha V'Kodshe Kachim. The two sources, even source number two, which was lenient, concerns Kodshe Kachim. Umay b'shnei makomos. Now we'll have a reinterpretation of the second source. The shnei makomos means as follows. One thing we will say, it does not mean while the camp is traveling, while they're moving, because while the camp is moving, kotshe kotshim will not be allowed to be eaten. So what does the expression b'shnei makomos mean? One aleph. One of the places, Kodem Shiamidu Levim Esamishkan. Rashi points out that one should not translate this literally, but rather the explanation is, while the Mishkan is still standing. So, Kachim are eaten, almost obviously we'll say, while the Mishkan is still standing, as it's supposed to be, Kemishpoto, as Rashi says. The other Mokom of source number two was Le'achar She'yifarku Halavim Es HaMishkan. After the Mishkan structure was dismantled, but the Mizbeach was still standing in its place, Kotshe Kotshim could still be eaten. Mahu detemo ifsil lehubiotse. One might have thought that with the removal of the curtains surrounding the courtyard of the Mishkan in the desert, with the removal of those curtains, one might have thought that that constitutes yotse, leaving of precinct. The issue of yotse is something that would render sacrifices unfit. In general, if a sacrifice is taken out of its precinct, when Kotshe Kotshim has its restrictions and Kotshim Kalam has theirs. With regard to Kotshe Kotshim, when they leave the Azora, they are rendered pusle. So here, the meat, not that it left the Azora, but the Azora left it. So one might have thought that the fact that the curtains surrounding the Azora were removed, that would constitute a psul of Yotze. Komash Malon, we're telling you that not. That's what this Brisa tells us, that since the Mizbeach is still standing in its place, Kotshe Kotshim could still be eaten. The Eima Hochinami, well, but maybe even but we should say, in fact, that is the case, that there is a Psul Yotze with the removal of the curtains, with the of the Kloyim surrounding the Mishkan. Omar Kro, the Posuk says, V'nosa Oyel Moyed, and we interpret that, Af Al Pi Shenosa, even though it's in a state of travel. In this case, we will limit our point to travel in the sense that the curtains have been removed. The curtains are traveling, so to speak, from where they were standing. Nevertheless, Oyel Moyed Hu, it's still classified as Oyel Moyed. And therefore, it's not nifsal, it's not rendered unfit as a result of yotze. The term or the status of ohel moed remains even if the curtains are removed. As you can see, there's a slash mark here indicating that that which follows is a new idea. Before we continue with the Gemara itself, let's take advantage of our topic heading that you find in the outside margin, Mizbeach Shel Shiloh. After the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael, there was an initial period of travel, and approximately 14 years after they entered Eretz Yisrael, they set up a Mishkan in Shiloh. That Mishkan had permanent walls and a non-permanent cover to it. The Mizbeach in Shiloh was a stone Mizbeach. Being that it was a stone Mizbeach, there's a certain implication that they stopped using the copper, the Mizbeach Nechoshes, that Moshe Rabbeinu had been responsible for in the desert. Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav, Mizbeach Shel Shiloh Shel Avonim Hoya. The Shiloh Mizbeach, that was a Mishkan. Shiloh, as we mentioned, was a place that the Mishkan stood. Historically, it stood there for 369 years. So the Mishkan of Shiloh had a Mizbeach made of stone. It was a structure. Disanyo, Rabbi Elazar ben Yankiv Omer, Ma Talmud Lomer, Avonim, 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 Shalosh Pamim. The Torah refers to a stone Mizbeach and describes this three times. Rashi cites in a brief fashion the required psukim. So, Echod Shel Shiloh, one of these references is to the Mizbeach and Shiloh, Echod Shel Noiv and Givon. Noiv and Givon are treated as one, even though they are two different places, but after Shiloh was destroyed, the Mishkan moved to Noiv and to Givon. And number three, Ubeis Oilomim, the Mizbeach of the Beis HaMikdash itself in Yerushalayim. The Gemara now raises a question. The basis of this question is, we're going to see that up till the time of Shlomo HaMelech, which is after Shiloh, it seems that the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu was still in service. And if that's the case, so why are we talking about a stone Mizbeach in the time of as early as the time of Shiloh? Mosif of Achabar Ami, Eish Shiyordo min Hashamayim b'imei Moshe. There was a miraculous appearance of fire, a fire from heaven that played a role in the burning of sacrifices on the altar. That fire that came from heaven in the time of Moshe, lo nistalko me'al mizbeach hanachoshes elo b'imei Shloimoy. It did not depart from the copper Mizbeach, the Moshe Rabbeinu Mizbeach, until the time of King Solomon, Shlomo Melech, which is after Shiloh. It's mashma that until Shlomo Melech, the Mizbeach was the Nechoshes Mizbeach. The Eish Shiordu Mimei Shlomo Lo Nistalka Al Shebo Menashe V'Silka. And the fire that descended in the time of Shlomo did not depart until a time period quite a bit later in the toward the end of the first Beis HaMikdash time period, when Menashe, the king, who was the son of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, until he removed it. So at this point, you notice we have a dashed underline, Lo Nistalka. We see that the fire from heaven did not depart the copper altar until the time of Shlomo, which, as we mentioned a moment before, it's mashma that until Shlomo Melech's time, the Mizbeach was a copper Mizbeach, the one that Moshe Rabbeinu constructed, and not a stone Mizbeach, as Rav Huna claimed before. Ve'im Esau, if it were so that the Mizbeach of Shiloh was a stone Mizbeach, me'ikora have hu de'istalik lay, then the fire would have left the copper Mizbeach of Moshe much earlier, and not wait until the time of Shlomo. Before we go further, we see a new geometric form as far as our sugya is concerned. We see a diamond. This is explained in the outside margin under the heading Nosei, which represents a topic, and Mivneh, where we've combined the topic, heading, and structural note into one. The diamond is featured. Shnei Tirutzim, two answers Lakushya to the question. The Mashma, the question implied, the Shel Shilo Adayin Hoya Shel Nechoshes. In our question, we see, or it's implied that the Mizbeach in Shiloh was still the original Nechoshes Mizbeach, and not a subsequently built stone altar. The Gemara answers, who, it's a reference to Rav Huna, who was responsible for quoting Rav regarding a stone Shiloh Mizbeach, who the Amar Karebi Noson. He conforms to Rabbi Noson, who we will see now in this source, the son of Noson Omer, Mizbeach shel Shiloi shel Nechoshes Hoya Cholul Umole Avonim. The Mizbeach of Shiloh had a facing made of Nechoshes. It was a hollow copper casing that encased stones. It was full of stones. So you can see that we've dashed underlined the word Avonim, and this is combined with the squiggle on Shiloh, so you see a portrayal of the Shiloh Mizbeach having stones. Based on Rabbi Noson, that Rav Huna said that the Mizbeach of Shiloh was of a stone nature. Rav Nachum Rabbi Yitzchak Omar, my loy nistalka. What does the expression of lo nistalka, which we saw in the source that Rav Acha used as a question on Rav Huna, and it said in that source that the fire, the heavenly fire, did not depart until the time of Shlomo, which indicated that the Moshe Rabbeinu Mizbech was in use all the way through the time of Shiloh, it means as follows, lo nistalka levatola. It didn't depart entirely. It departed partially. Namely, when they built Shiloh and set up a stone Mizbeach like Rav Huna, the fire was present on that Mizbeach as well. Mahi, so how do you explain this? What do you mean by the fire not departing entirely from the original Mizbeach? There are two approaches to this. Rabbonon Amri, Shviva Hava Mishadra. A type of fire bolt was sent from the Moshe Rabbeinu Mizbeach to the Shiloh stone Mizbeach. We're emphasizing the idea of stone Mizbeach. This is in order to back up the fact that we're answering on behalf of Rav Huna, that in Shiloh there was a stone Mizbeach. We're also resolving that opinion with that which we saw above of Lo Nistalko Me'al Mizbeach HaNechoshes, the first arrow, which indicates that the Mizbeach HaNechoshes was still in use as far as the heavenly fire is concerned, insofar as it being present on the copper Moshe Rabbeinu Mizbeach and shooting a firebolt to the new stone Shiloh Mizbeach. Rav Papa explains what that which Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok said, that it was lo nistalka legamri. It means as follows: Ushpiza have nokat zimnin hocha v'zimnin hocha. It ushpiza is an expression that's associated often with an inn or something being hosted. It was sometimes hosted by the heavenly fire was hosted at times by the copper Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu and at times by the stone Mizbeach that was built in Shiloh. Once again, a slash mark appears in demonstrating that which follows is a new idea. On the outside margin, we have a nosei, a topic heading, Tosefes Beniyo al HaMizbeach Bimei Bayis Sheni. An extension of altar construction during the second base Hamikdash. We made an allusion to this idea in a previous shiur where we had mentioned that the Mizbeach featured in Sefer Yechezkel was larger than the Mizbeach featured in Sefer Melachim, the one built by Shlomo HaMelech. Tanan Hosam. We have a Tanaic source. It says, Uksha'olu b'nei ha'goyla, when the Jews returned to Eretz Yisrael in the time of the beginning of the second temple period, in time of Ezra and Nehemiah, they rose, they came up to Eretz Yisrael from the Gola, from Bovel. Hosifu alav, they added to the Mizbeach, Dalet Amos min Adorom, v'dalet Amos min Hamarov, kemin Gamo. Four Amos of Mizbeach were added on the southern side, and four Amos on the western side. Kemin Gamo is a shape formed by the Greek letter Gamma, which is essentially a right angle. My Taimo. Why was there a need to extend the Mizbeach? So we have a triangle that appears here, and this is explained in our outside margin under the Mivneh heading. The triangle represents Te'omim, reasons. Loma hoyu tzrichim hosef. Why do they have to add in dimension to the original dimensions of the Mizbeach? Why was there this increase? So the Gemara goes on. Omar Rav Yosef, Mishum Delo Sopik. It wasn't large enough. In other words, the original dimensions would have produced a Mizbeach that was not large enough to contain or to handle the korbanos of the second temple period. Omar Le Abaye. Abaye raises a question that lasts a few lines. You can see through our long question marking that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Abaye asks, Hashto Mikdash Rishon Dichtiv Bey, regarding the first temple time period, the Pasuk in describing the Jewish population, it says, Yehuda Yisrael Rabim Kechil Asher Al Hayom. Sopik. It was enough. It says that the Jewish population was like the sand on the beaches of the sea. The sand of the sea, so to speak. And with such a large population, the Mizbeach with the first temple dimensions was suffic, was enough. Mikdash Sheni Dichtiv Bei Ka'akol Ke'echad Arbo Riboy. In the second temple period, where the population in the time of Ezra was recorded as being a little bit more than Arbo Ribo, is 4 times 10,000, a little more than 40,000. Which is a much, much smaller statistic than the sand of the sea as described for the first temple period. Lo Sufik, would the dimensions of the first Mizbeach not have been enough? Omar Lay, Rav Yosef answers, don't be misled by simple population statistics. Hosam, in the case of the Mikdash Rishon, which in fact had a much larger population, the smaller Mizbeach was able to handle the load because Eish Shel Shamayim Misayoson, the heavenly fire, as we saw alluded to earlier on this particular Omid, was assisted. It was for our purposes, we'll say it was a very intense fire that enabled many more korbanos to be processed, to be offered on any given day. Hocha, in the case of the second temple, Ein Eish Shel Shamayim Misayoson. You didn't have a heavenly fire that assisted in the burning of the sacrifices. Ki Asa Ravin, we see a second triangle, a second explanation of why there was a need to expand the dimensions of the Mizbeach in the second Beis Hamikdash. Ki Asa Ravin Omar Reb Shimon Ben Pazi Mishum Bar Kapora. Shisin Hosifu. Shisin is a reference to vertical tubes that were used for the pouring of Nisochim. Nisochim are the wine and water offerings, liquid offerings, wine offerings as part of the offering of many sacrifices, many different kinds of sacrifices had Nisachim, and the water offering during the Sukkot holiday. These tubes became part of the Mizbeach. Whereas previously, the Gemara now explains, Meikora Savur, originally it was held Mizbeach Adoma, The pasuk says, "Mizbach Adama Ta'aseli, Shehu Otum VaAdama." The idea of Mizbach Adama means that it's completely sealed up, no hollowness in it. Rashi says, "Otum VaAdama, Shelo Yehe Cholul." It should be without any hollow, and tubes would constitute a hollow. Therefore, in the case of the Mizbeach of the first Beis HaMikdash, liquid offerings were poured on the top of the Mizbeach and they would run off the side. However, Ula B'Sof Savor, they then later concluded, and this would be a reference to the second Beis HaMikdash, Shtia Ke'achila. The drinking, so to speak, that's the liquid offerings, should be like the Achila, like the consumption of the salad, of the meat. Just like the meat is offered on the Mizbech proper, so too the liquids that are offered on the Mizbech should be absorbed into the Mizbech. Umay Mizbech Adama, so according to this latter interpretation, what do they do with the expression of Mizbech Adama? Shehu Mechubor Ba'adama, simply that the Mizbech should be attached to the ground. Shelo yuvnenu, it should not be constructed lo al gabi kifin, velo al gabi mechilos. It should not be constructed over archways, nor over tunnels. It should be attached to solid ground. So, in the first Beis HaMikdash, the dimensions of the Mizbech were shorter in so far as they did not include tubes. The Mizbech was then expanded in dimensions, and that it was in that expanded area that the tubes were accounted for or constructed, if you will, within the Mizbech, in the expanded area of the Mizbech. Rav Yosef now enters the discussion, and he basically asks on that which he himself said earlier. Earlier, we saw Rav Yosef make reference to Eish Min HaShemayim that assisted in the consumption of the Korbanos during the first Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, they did not need a larger mizbeach. If it's a little wondrous how it is that Rav Yosef here is asking on that which he himself said earlier, Rashi points out that Rav Yosef unfortunately experienced a point in his life where he was ill and forgot what he originally taught, and He at this point he's going to be asking, how could it possibly have been taught, and thinking maybe someone else said it when he himself said it, that it was an Eish Shel Shamayim, a heavenly fire that assisted, and therefore they did not need any more in dimension. So let's see now the Gemara. Omar of Yosef, Lav Hainu Desanya. We have a source that features a pasuk that is referring to the Anshei Knesset HaGdola in the time of Ezra, that when they taught the dimensions of the Mizbeach, they taught it with a firm, complete knowledge. The Sanya, the source says, Vayachinu HaMizbeach Al Mechonosov. And that pasuk is explained as being Shehigiu L'Soif Midosov. They achieved a final and firm understanding of what the dimensions should be, namely that which was not revealed to Shlomo. In other words, it's really the final dimensions, or the Mizbech that was built in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash that was the, we'll say for lack of better expression, the correct, final, appropriate size, and not that which Shlomo made. Well, if you accept that, then he is questioning by bringing in this source, he's questioning that which was said before, which implied that during the first temple, since they had the heavenly fire, that is the mizbech that they had, that was all they needed. That was the maximum size that they required. Here we're saying no, that was not actually the correct size. The correct size is that which was done by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah in the second Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara now asks, on that which we just said, v'hoksiv, but is it not said with regard to Shlomo HaMelech, does it not say, v'hakol b'ksav mi'ad Hashem olai hiskiu, that all of the dimensions that Shlomo HaMelech constructed were through heavenly communication. That's what Miyad Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, taught it. So how can you talk about the correct dimensions being present only as late as the second Beis HaMikdash, when even by Shlomo HaMelech, all of the dimensions were Min HaShamayim? Elo Omar Rav Yosef, Kro Ashkach V'Dorash. As far as what took place, it's based on a pasuk. Before we go on in the Gemara itself, let's take a look at the Rashi. Elo Omar Rav Yosef, Kro Ashkach V'Dorash, Shenema LeDavid Shishim Amo B'Mokim HaMizbeach, U'Shlomo Lo Hevin LeDorsho, V'Hein Dorshu V'Hosifu Olav L'Fi Hatzorech Lohem, U'Leshishim Amo Lo Hutzruchu, D'Aminon L'Kamon Midas Orko V'Rochbo V'Komoso Ein Me'akvin. Rav Yosef explains that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah noticed a pasuk, and it's through this pasuk that they expanded the Mizbeach. Elo Amar Rav Yosef, Kro Ashkach V'Dorash, the following pasuk, Vayomer David, Zehu Beis Hashem Olekim, V'ze Mizbeach L'Oil Yisrael. So in this pasuk you have a reference to the Beis Hashem, and a reference to the Mizbeach. So we say, ki bayis, just like the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, ma bayis shishim amo, just like the structure of the Beis HaMikdash had a length of 60 amos, af mizbeach shishim amo, so too the mizbeach could be constructed up till 60 amos. In other words, the area assigned or allotted to the Mizbeach in potential was up to 60 amos. It wasn't necessary to make a Mizbeach of a total of 60 amos, but if they needed, they could expand it to that amount, so that in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, they didn't need as much. In the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, they needed to expand it, and they had license to expand it based on this pasuk. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.